always a test as to whether I'm going to use my glasses or not. I can see, but only partially. So, be wise. So, Ruth has just read to us 1 Corinthians 13. The interesting thing about this passage is that it's wedged between, obviously, 1 Corinthians 12 and 1 Corinthians 14. The subject is love. The end of chapter 12 finishes with a focus on love. And then we move into chapter 13, which is all about love. And the opening few words of chapter 14 are about? Exactly. So this theme is a continuous one which runs through a number of chapters. Why is it so important for us? Because the whole of the Bible is about love. God's love for us, and then in relationship with Him, our love for Him and our love for one another. So love is actually central throughout the Word. So tonight, the message for all of us is listen carefully, because this is fundamental to our faith. This is the basis on which we stand. If somebody says, what is your Christian faith all about? Answer, love. Love. So in chapter 12, Paul takes us on a journey. Excuse me. He starts off by looking at the spiritual gifts. And they're amazing gifts. Talking about prayer, miraculous healing, speaking in foreign languages, all sorts of incredible things. But he finishes off by saying that there is a greater gift than all of these. Anybody know which gift that is? Gift of love, exactly, yeah. He finishes by saying, we must follow the most excellent way. And the most excellent way is the way of love. He then moves on, and he's talking now about the church, and we're looking at the church as one, which has a whole lot of, one body, which has a whole lot of parts. And how all these parts work together using those gifts. But again, even within terms of that, he's saying that without love, that is all worthless, useless. Even all of those gifts, when they're used within a church environment, if they are not founded or exercised in love, pointless, worthless. So in essence, it's all about love. Why? Why is love so important? Let me just read to you 1 John 4:8. Whoever does not love does not know God, because God is love. That's it. So if anybody ever says to you, give me a description of God, love. Really? And if you want to paint a picture of that love, you're welcome to, because it can look like 101 different things. But actually, God is love. Full stop. So Paul then goes on to teach about love. What I'm going to do now is take the reading Ruth used a few minutes ago, and I'm going to substitute the word love with God. Why do you think I'm free to do that? Because we've just found out that God is love. So let's revisit that passage, and I'm now going to put in God instead of love. So listen to how amazing our God is. God is patient. God is kind. He does not envy. He does not boast. He is not proud. He is not rude. He is not self-seeking. He is not easily angered. He keeps no record of wrongs. He does not delight in evil, but rejoices with the truth. He always protects, always trusts, always hopes, always perseveres. Key words coming up. He never fails. God never fails. Now we can trace this back, but in Scripture, if you go right into the book of Exodus, we have a beautiful picture of Moses and God actually passing along, and he goes, past Moses, and these are the words that he says to Moses. So we're talking about Exodus chapter 34, verses 6 and 7. Now, as I read this to you, bring this in line with what I've just read. All those incredible descriptive words about God and how good he is. This is God speaking as he goes past Moses about himself. The Lord, the compassionate and gracious God, slow to anger, abounding in love and faithfulness, maintaining love to thousands, forgiving wickedness, rebellion, and sin. That's a picture of God, our loving God. And he loves us with that perfect love. Now, I just want to bring in one more aspect about this love that's so incredible. Romans chapter 5, verse 8. But God demonstrates his own love for us in this. While we were still sinners, Christ died for us. While we were still sinners. So I don't know if you can remember the days before you came to faith in Jesus. I can. The days in which I did my own thing. God loved me. So there's nothing we do to earn his love. He loves us despite what we do. So even now as Christians, if I drift from the Lord, if I rebel against him, does his love fall away? No. That love is constant, enduring, steadfast. That's the incredible truth about God's love for each of us. How should we respond to the truth about God and his amazing love for us? So we've just looked at the word to be reminded of his faithfulness and his great love for us. So now that we know that, how do we respond to it? Well, I'm going to use the last verse, 1 Corinthians 13:13, to help us in terms of what we do about that response. Do you remember these words? And now these three remain: faith, hope, and love. But the greatest of these is love. So I'm going to read now from my NIV study Bible a few words just to help us to understand those three, faith, hope, and love, and how they hang together and the progression between those three. So firstly, faith is the foundation and content of God's message. Faith is the foundation and content of God's message. Hope is the attitude and focus, and love is the action. Picking up a bit on what Judy was saying this morning, love is action. When faith and hope are in line, listen to this very carefully, you are free to love completely because you understand how God loves. When faith and hope are in line, you are free to love completely because you understand how God loves. Okay, so now I'm just going to tease that out a little bit for us tonight to understand with a little bit more insight what that actually means. When God's word, the Bible, and when I say that I mean all of it, becomes our foundation, when we truly believe it to be the source of truth, and here's the important part, when we not only read the Bible, but when we engage in it, study, and ask God questions, trusting that he's going to reveal to us the answers. In other words, when we engage with God and his word, that's when it becomes the foundation in our lives. We get a deeper understanding of his word. It becomes the truth for us. And what happens? Transformation. As that becomes our foundation, we change. When we look at the world, we see things through our eyes. And when I see the world, I see them through my eyes and the way that I want to see them. And sadly, I mean, it's something that we all have in us, this tendency of self-centeredness. So I'm going to look at the world to see what the world can do for me or give me or how it can satisfy my desires. That's very different from seeing the world through eyes of faith, through Jesus' eyes. Because there we see it completely differently. How can I serve you? What can I do for the world? How can I bless other people? So it's a fundamental shift from selfishness to selflessness. And that is a massive change. That's what happens when we receive that love of God and it becomes foundational in our lives. The faith that we then start living out moment by moment. And when we see the world with eyes of faith, our hope rises. So remember, we are on faith, hope, and love. So we've got this foundation of the Word of God. We believe it, 100%. We also believe it because we've engaged with God, asking questions, searching. So He gives us the revelation, He gives us the truth. When we now start seeing the world differently, why do I say hope rises? Because we start seeing the world through different lenses, and we start seeing not only the ugliness and the terrible things that are going on in our world at the moment, and they are. I don't have to remind you, if you look at the newspapers, look at TV, what do we see? Violence, crime, mass migration, earthquakes, 101 different reasons why people are being displaced. Corruption. It is so easy for us to get caught up in that. Here's where the change comes in. When you see the world through Jesus' eyes and you look closely around you, what do you see? Yes, all of that suffering is taking place, but in the midst of it, somehow people are receiving love. People are being ministered to and comforted in their hour of need, aren't they? Yes, it's happening all the time. We see wars all over. What about when negotiations are taking place and we've got it right now in Gaza? Does that give you any hope? Gives me hope. And now I'm going, I hope it lasts, but it's hope. Is God involved in that? Yes, I believe so. What about medical science? There are things going on now that we wouldn't have dreamt about 30 or 40 years ago. Who's involved in that? Is that just man's ingenuity and genius? Or is God involved in that? He is. So for me, when I start looking at the world through those eyes and I look to see what God's actually doing, including this incredible planet that we're on, my hope rises because my foundation is no longer Brian Doyle, it is Jesus Christ. Huge difference. So we've got faith, and because of that faith, our hope rises, and because of that hope, that draws us into action, sends us into action, and that's the love. Because we see things through those eyes of Jesus, we see people differently. And our heart's desire then is to serve them and to love them. So that's the threefold flow. It starts with a foundation in the Word, which gives us hope for the future, and then sends us out into the world to love others the way Jesus calls us to love them. It is only then that we can serve the Lord faithfully as love-filled disciples, the disciples He refers to in John 15. We're going to look at that very briefly now, the parable of the vine and the branches. I'm sure you pretty much all familiar with that. Take note now about these words that Jesus speaks to His disciples with the centrality of love again. As the Father has loved me, so have I loved you. Now remain in my love. If you obey my commands, you will remain in my love, just as I have obeyed my Father's commands and remain in His love. I have told you this so that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be complete. My command is this, love each other as I have loved you. I'll stop there for a moment. Do you get the picture of all of that? That whole teaching is about abiding in the vine. The vine being Jesus, us being the branches. That is a picture for me of standing on God's word. If I stand with the foundation of the Bible, I am connected to the vine. And if that is my foundation, I am going to bear fruit. Because Christ is my foundation, and the Holy Spirit lives in me, and the fruit will be born, and it will last. Because it is of Jesus. It is of God. So remaining in Him means remaining in His love, and that is His call for us as disciples. We need to do that. But remember, Jesus' love is not just normal love. It's self-sacrificial love. We're about to have communion. I'm just going to pick up on the last verse of what I've been reading, the passage. So he says, my command is this, love each other as I have loved you. Greater love has no one than this, that he lays life down for his friends. You are my friends if you do what I command. That's what we're going to celebrate in communion. Jesus laying his life down for us because of his great love for us. Self-sacrificial love. Mark 10:45, for even the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve and to give his life as a ransom for many. There's our example, Jesus. Servant King. What about us? So I'm going to conclude tonight by asking a couple of questions. Generically, plenary. Are we disciples of Christ, living Christ-centered lives and bearing much fruit to the glory of the Father? Is love the foundation of all that we are? Ask yourself that question. I asked myself that question while I was doing the sermon. And the answer to those two? No, I'm not. I'd like to believe I am. And sometimes I am. But often I'm not. So what can we all learn from this tonight? That our... Sorry? We're work in progress. But there's good news. Even though I acknowledge that, what else comes into the equation? What about my Heavenly Father? What about God? Doesn't it say He's slow to anger, gracious, compassionate, forgiving? He's all of those things. So even though I try and I stumble and I fall, what God is watching over me? A loving God who's going to pick me up, dust me off, and say, off you go again. So I'm going to finish by saying to all of us this evening, let us make sure that love is at the center of everything we do. Our thoughts, our words, and our actions. Let them all be founded in love, exercised in love, because that will bring glory to the Father. Amen.